In a story that captures the meaning of the cross with literary genius and eloquence, C.S. Lewis, in his story called The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, puts into the mouth of Aslan, the lion, words that declare that the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the most important event in history. Some of you might be familiar with the story, but just to remind you if you are, or to fill you in if you're not, it's a great Lenten read, by the way. In this story, there are four children, the sons of Adam and Eve, and the boys' names are Peter and Edmund, and the sisters are Susan and Lucy, and they find themselves in the magical land of Narnia, where, of course, there is a witch, and she is the White Witch, and the younger brother, Edmund, comes under her spell because, you see, she has what looks oh so good. It's like the fruit of the knowledge of the tree and good and evil. But here, it's not fruit. It's Turkish delight. But this is enchanted Turkish delight. And the more Edmund eats it, the more he wants it because he comes under the spell of the witch. And of course, the witch has no love for Edmund at all. All she wants to do is to be able to get Edmund under her control so that she can get control of Peter and Susan and Lucy and kill the four of them. For you see, if the children of the sons of Adam and Eve are killed, then they will not be able to go to take their rightful place on the thrones in Caer Paravel. And she, the White Witch, will rule Narnia forever. But Edmund's conscience gets the better of him, and he recognizes that what he is doing is wrong. And so he is able to turn his heart back to his brother and sisters, and indeed to Aslan. But the witch knows of a magic, that if one comes under her lure and spell and betrays her, his life is forfeit. And then something remarkable happens, which is at the very heart of the story. Although in Narnia, Edmund now needs to die, Aslan the lion takes Edmund's place. And the witch now thinks the victory is all hers, because not only will she kill Aslan, but after he's dead, she'll kill the boys and the girls, and she will be victorious. Death wins! But there are Susan and Lucy watching the horrific death of Aslan on the stone table. But then after the witch and her goblins and orcs and all of these terrible creatures leave, and there is the dead lion, he comes back to life. And upon being raised from the dead, Aslan says to Susan and Lucy these beautiful words: though the witch knew the deep magic, there is a magic deeper still which she did not know. Her knowledge goes only back to the dawn of time. But if she could have looked a little further back into the stillness and the darkness before time dawned, she would have read a different incantation. She would have known that when a willing victim who had committed no treachery was killed in a traitor's stead, the table would crack and death itself would begin to work backwards. Death itself would begin to work backwards. Whenever we look at the crucifix, this is the deeper magic. For here is represented what we then have presented to us sacramentally every time we come to the Eucharist. In the body and blood of Jesus Christ, we join ourselves to him and eat that food and drink that cordial that is the antidote to the witch's Turkish delight. A delight that is ingested by many people today under so many guises. For you see, we live in a country that has come under the witch's spell. This is Narnia. And in Canada in the year 2020, there are so many who, in the words of Moses in our first reading, have chosen death over life. As that passage was being read from the book of Deuteronomy, it struck me that this is Deuteronomy chapter 30. The book of Deuteronomy is almost over, which means that the first five books of the Bible are almost over, the law of God, the Torah. And that passage which we read from Deuteronomy 30 is a summary of the whole of the Torah. Each and every day, the people of Israel were asked the question, how will you live? Will you choose life or will you choose death? Will you choose God or will you choose self? And then to have that reading from Deuteronomy coupled with Psalm 1, the very first psalm. And what does Psalm 1 speak of? The choice we have to make. Will we eat the Turkish delight or will we eat the Eucharist? The choice is ours. And Psalm 1 says that blessed is the man or woman who delights daily on the law of God. And then Jesus Christ brings it into clear focus in today's reading when he says, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. The book of Deuteronomy in its final form as we have it now dates from the 6th century BC. C.S. Lewis wrote The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe in the 1950s. Jesus spoke these words from the gospel 2,000 years ago. And here we are in Canada in the year 2020, in a country that is about to extend benefits, if we can call them such, for medical assistance in dying, that will make Canada the country that has the freest laws on euthanasia in the world. Why is that? Because so many people in Canada today are under the lure of the white witch. But this isn't new. This goes all the way back to the book of Deuteronomy. C.S. Lewis understood this in the 1950s. And so the choice is always ours to say that in a culture of death, we will be a people of life. In a culture where so many people say, I don't want to have to experience suffering, we are a people who say that suffering is the way through to meaning and life, something Edmund discovered as he realized that it's not the white witch, but Aslan, the Christ, who is the one we have to follow. Lent is the season for us to remember the deeper magic of the cross. We are to choose the cross, says Jesus, every day of our lives. Because you see, the toxic candy will kill you unless you discover its antidote. Thanks be to God that in Jesus Christ and this meal, we have the antidote that can free us and heal us from that terrible Turkish delight.